There's ten. And there's ten there too. My ears are back. My nose is... Oh. I'm sorry. I was a leper. What was a leper? I was a leper, but then... I'm not supposed to tell. I'm not supposed to tell. I must go to the priest. I tell my wife. My wife should be... the priest. He said to go to the priest and not to tell. But what if you asked? If you asked, and then I could maybe tell what happened to me. Okay, I'll tell you what happened. They're all back. They're all back. I was much like you. I didn't think so at the time, but I was rich. I was rich in so many things. I had my farm. I had my Ruth. I had my children. I had a house. I had a rabbi that I went to see and listen to. I had friends. I was rich. I didn't think so. But when you've lost everything, and you begun to appreciate all the things that you have when you had something. It started quite innocently. There was just this little pimple-like thing on my face. Jacob Abramson had a zit at 40 years old. My wife harassed me about it a little bit, but it didn't pop like a pimple should pop. It stayed. And then I remember the day when it was something more than just that. I was working in the field, and as I was working in the field, the tool in my hand fell out of my hand. My hands were weak, and I was strong, but now my hands were weak. It was like there was no feeling in some of my hands, and so tools would fall out of my hands, and this little pimple on my face, instead of popping, began to grow. Isn't it funny how sometimes something that seems so innocent, that seems so little, can end up causing so much pain? This little pimple began to grow, and instead of popping, it began to get brighter. I remember well the day I got up for the last time in my house. I got up and I prepared to go out to work as I would any other day. My wife followed me to the door, and she greeted me at the door, and the sun hit my face. All of a once in her face was a look of pity and sorrow. And then a wave of maybe anger came across her face, and I looked at her wondering what was causing her to think these things. And she held my hand and she looked at me and she said, "Jacob, you must see the priest." And what we had dreaded for days and neither one of us wanted to speak now became true, that perhaps I had leprosy. Leprosy. And I went to see the priest. When I returned, my wife had expected the worst. There was a large bag waiting at the gate for me. And my wife and children were standing at the house. My house. A house that I could not go in. A house that I was being barred from by the Moses' law. And my wife was weeping. My older children were weeping. My little one was confused. We called out our love to each other, I at the gate, them at the door, and then I turned away from my family to go to the leper colony. Have you ever seen a leper colony? Sometimes when my farm had done well, I had gone there at night and dropped off some food for them, making sure I was far enough away. Nobody wants to see a leper colony. It is a community of last resort. It's a place that you go to when you have no place else to go. Have you ever gotten to the point in your life where there was just no place else to go? And so you go to the leper colony. And there's a certain fellowship there, but you don't really look at each other's eyes when you're in that condition, because there is the same despair that echoes your eyes. Leprosy starts so innocently, a little spot, a little numbness in the hands, but it begins to spread, and pretty soon, where there was just a spot, as it grows, there becomes a hole in the middle. As the leprosy grows, the center of the sore dies. And the death becomes a rot, and the rot becomes ooze, and the ooze becomes stench. Truly, a leper is a man, a woman of living death. The parts that become numb become susceptible to all kinds of strange things. A hand could stay in a fire and not known to be in the fire. Cooking becomes dangerous because knives and fires, you can lose parts of you. And in time, in the years that I was there in the colony, for days became weeks, and weeks became months, and months became years of living in the colony. And in a matter of time, I was leprous from top to bottom. Ooze out of faces, my nose became a bone protruding from my face, my ears were gone, my hands, parts of my hands had fallen off as the numbness had gone way to sores, and the sores to decay, and then rot, and then accidents took place. I remember one night being asleep, and in that state between sleep and wake, I was having a terrible dream. The dream was that I was being eaten by animals, that they were devouring me beginning at my feet. And as I became fully awake, I realized that it was not all a dream, but the colony's rat had decided to have breakfast at my toes. And I jerked myself fully awake and pulled my numb feet away from this beast. The only thing worse than the colony is leaving the colony. For if you leave the colony, by Moses' law, you must cover your face and cry out, "Unclean, unclean!" And people run from you. People don't want to look at you. And those who do not run from you want to chase you back to the colony. They pick up stones and they throw them at you. Unclean, go back home. Go back to the colony. Go away. And so the rejection and the anger and the frustration that you receive outside of the colony makes being inside of the colony a safe place. It made me re-examine Jacob, me, and my thoughts toward people, and how many times had I, during the course of my life, when I was rich, when I was a farmer, when I had everything a man would want or need in life, how many times did I think poorly of someone because their marriage had fallen apart, and I said, if they only acted more like me, that this wouldn't have happened to them. How many times did I look at someone who was of a different nationality and said, if they were like me, then this would not have happened to them? Well, perhaps they had a different religion, or perhaps they had a different, maybe it was the way they dressed, maybe it was the way they did their hair, but I looked at them and I despised them, and I did not want them around my children, I did not want them around me, I did not want them around my family, because they were different from me, and now I felt that. I felt everything that I had scorned upon others upon me every time I would attempt to leave the colony, attempt to go find some place to work or some place to find food. I would feel that despair and wonder how any creation of God could look at another creation of God with hate and contempt and realize that I, Jacob, Abram's son, was guilty of such hatred. Day after day, there wasn't much to do but endure the despair, the depression, the hopelessness of such a place as the colony. One day, one came back from going to the gate of the colony and getting food, and with a report that his friend had called out that there was something happening in Galilee. There was this man in Galilee, Jesus of Nazareth, and Jesus of Nazareth was teaching the people, and as he taught the people, He healed. He healed people. The paralyzed walked, and the sickened were made well. There was a lot of discussion that day in the colony, thinking whether or not this Jesus of Nazareth, whether or not he would touch a leper, whether he would heal a leper. The priests were forced to look at the leper, but no one else voluntarily paid attention to us. Maybe this Jesus would heal, but he would not heal us. Sometimes in our hopelessness, it was almost satisfying to stay hopeless, because to get just a little bit of hope would be only result in a crushing. But this news continued. More and more people said that Jesus was doing phenomenal things, that Jesus was doing miracles, that he was bringing hope to the hopeless, and much discussion began to take place in the colony and overwhelmingly at the fire as we discussed these things. The consensus was it was ridiculous to go. But I became angry. I became angry at the disease that enslaved me. I became angry at those who called out their anger and their slurs at me for my sickness. I became angry at the hopelessness of my fellow lepers, that why they would want to stay there if there was something else. And I began to talk and say, we should go. We should put together a posse and we should go looking for this Jesus. They said, no. They were not willing to risk the loss again. And they said, number one, if we go, they will chase us back. And if we go, where will we go find him? And if we do find him, what is the chance that he would heal a leper? I mean, of all people, would he heal a leper, one so sick as us? My anger toward them deepened as I realized their despair and how they were trapped. And so one day, several days ago, I determined that it was time. That I was going to die this living death unless I would so arm myself and soul that I would go and find Jesus. I became obsessed that I must find Jesus. Have you ever gotten so sick of yourself? So sick of your sins, so sick of your sickness, so sick of what you had become that no matter what the cost, something had to be done that I might sleep again, that I might live again. I must find Jesus. And so early one morning, I put together just enough supplies for myself for a day or two. I did not want to take much from the storehouse of the lepers of my friends. And I set out in the early hours before anyone could tell me not to, that I might find Jesus. And it was as my friends expected. The first I came across, I called out, "Unclean, do you know where Jesus is?" And I was greeted by a stone. "Leper, go back. Go away. My children will be out here later today. Go away. Stay away, leper." I continued on. The days were filled with insults. The nights were filled with cold and hunger. But I continued asking, "Have you seen Jesus? Do you know where Jesus is?" And it became obvious that Capernaum in Galilee was the direction to head, that I might find Jesus if I would go to such a place. And so I headed to the north shore of Galilee. And as I went, I noticed something happened. That the closer I got to where Jesus was, the nicer the people became. The more likely that someone had been to Jesus, the more likely that they would be kind to the leper. The more it seemed that they had listened to Jesus teach, the more they were willing to look at the bone coming out of my nose and my earless face and the ooze that was coming from my skin and the rot that I was, the more they were willing to look at me, the more time and the closer they had been to Jesus, the more willing they were to look at me. At me. But still it was hard. I continued on until I heard definitely where he had been teaching along the shore of Galilee that day. And I saw a large crowd. It looked like a swarm of bees moving in and out around a queen. And I looked toward that crowd and began to walk, fixing my eyes on the center of the crowd, for that must be where Jesus was. And as I walked, determined that I would know Jesus, that I would find Jesus, that I would beg Jesus, I began rehearsing again in my mind the speech that I had prepared for. Before I left the colony, I had decided exactly what I would do. I decided that I would speak face to face like a man, though I wasn't. I would look at him in the eyes and I would convince him that I was worthy that he might do this, that he might heal me. But now I became fixed that there was this Jesus in the middle of this crowd and that perhaps he could. My mind was focused on nothing but that. I forgot to call out unclean, yet I did not need to, for the crowd began to call it out for me as they looked at my disgusting visions. Unclean, unclean, some kind, some not so kind. And then like the Red Sea parting before Moses, the crowd parted. And all I could see was one man looking. His eyes looking at me. I hadn't seen a look like that since that day at the door with my wife. It was a look not of disgust, not of anger, not of despising. It was love. He wasn't seeing the sickness. He saw me. My thoughts were scrambled and I fell at his feet and began blubbering. Oh Jesus, mercy on this poor leper. Oh Jesus, heal me. Oh, if you will, I know you can. My speech was gone. I heard nothing except the waves of Galilee. I began to hear the feet of one walking towards me, and I looked up, and he began to reach his hands out to me. My reaction was to turn away, for you cannot touch a leper. But he continued coming toward me, and he took his hands and reached out, and he put them around my face. Oh, if you know what that did to my soul. I had not been intentionally touched since that day at the gate of the house when my wife's hands left mine. That moment was engraved on my heart all the years I was a leper, remembering her hands leaving mine. Now Jesus reached out and he touched me. He purposely touched me. Oh, there are many reasons not to touch a leper. You'll be ostracized from your family if you do. You might catch the disease, and surely it is disgusting to touch a leper. But Jesus, in spite of my wicked looks, in spite of my disgusting sickness, he touched me. I felt his hands pulling on my face in his hands. He pulled me to my knees and to my feet, and he looked in my eyes and he said, "I will. Be thou clean." They're back. The fingers are back, the nose is back, the ears are back. I see the priest. I must see the priest. I must tell the priest, for then I can go see my Ruth. No, but I see the priest first, and then I can see the Ruth. Oh, somebody must go tell the lepers. Somebody must go tell the lepers that Jesus loves them, and that he will touch them, and he will heal them. Would you pray with me? Oh, my Father, we are so full of ourselves that when we see someone who has a sin disease, their hair different than ours, maybe their family is different than ours, maybe their skin is different than ours, and we judge them and we despise them, oh God, forgive us. And help us to love and touch as Jesus would have. Amen.
I think that we have to ask ourselves two questions. First of all, have you been touched? Have you come to Jesus Christ and realizing who you are, realizing that He is the only source of power and help, that He is the only one who can heal you? Everyone here is sick with sin. We were born that way. And yet, we can be healed. We can be healed by the touch of the great physician, by putting our faith and our trust completely and solely on Him, realizing that it's nothing of our righteousness, it's nothing of our goodness that gets us to heaven. It was nothing that leper did that healed him. It was his faith that Jesus Christ was capable of healing him. And it is your faith that Jesus Christ is capable of saving your soul, that He loved you enough to die on a cross to save you, that is enough to heal you from your sinful condition and to change your life. But the second question that I'm sure will probably apply to many more here than the first, because most of us have probably already come to the point where Christ has touched us. But I have to ask as well, myself, and I think we all have to ask ourselves this question, is are we allowing the fact that Christ touched us, are we allowing Christ to use us to touch someone else? There are hurting people all around us, and they're hurting in different ways. And we have the answer. We have experienced the love. We have experienced the touch, the healing touch of Jesus Christ. And then we see people hurting. And we see people who are maybe different and maybe in a situation that we don't want to touch, that is unclean. And then we refuse to share that touch with the person who needs it the most. Have you been willing to let the touch of Jesus Christ in your life reach beyond just you and touch the life of somebody else? Because I think that's what has to happen. There were so many people who had been touched by Christ in that vicinity in Capernaum, near Capernaum, in the northern shore of Galilee that day. How many of them helped that leper find Christ? How many of them helped that leper find the touch that he needed to heal his broken body? Scripture doesn't record for us. There may have been some. It doesn't really matter necessarily to us personally. The question is, how many people are you helping find the touch of the Master, the one who can change their hearts, the one who can change their lives.